Hey, what's up on Silver Revolt? BMAC is back on the phone with another great interview lined up. The holiday season is just around the corner, and believe me, with the year we've had, we need some holiday cheer. And I'm here talking to a man who's been with this one group who has been known to bring holiday cheer in a heavy metal sense during the Christmas season. He's the drummer for a Trans-Siberian Orchestra. He's been with them for the past 20 years, and I'm very excited to speak with him. So without further ado, please help me welcome the little drummer boy who puts a rump-a-bump-bum in Trans-Siberian Orchestra, Mr. Jeff Plate. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing good, man. That was quite the intro. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I felt like the little drummer boy was very much appropriate.
I agree. I'm good with it.
Okay, well, first of all, Jeff, how are things going for you right now with this whole pandemic we're in right now?
Well, I mean, it's obviously a drag. You could see this coming earlier in the year where, you know, once COVID started picking up steam, it kind of became obvious to me back in early April that we weren't going to be able to tour this year. So, you know, even though I've kind of had my head wrapped around this for months, it still doesn't make it any easier. But on a personal note, everything is fine. My wife and I have been able to avoid, you know, catching COVID along with our family and a number of our friends. Everybody's good. But there are some people that I know who have run into it. We've had a couple people, you know, that are part of the TSO family who have dealt with it this year. And, you know, for the most part, this is something that nobody wants to get regardless. So, you know, let's just hope everybody stays safe and healthy and, you know, we can get through all this.
Yeah, I know the feeling. Now, Jeff, obviously you're not the original drummer for Trans-Siberian Orchestra, but just for your knowledge, where did the name come from?
So I actually am the original drummer.
Oh, you are? Okay. When I was looking at Wikipedia, it kind of gave me some different information, so blame the people who put that stuff out.
Well, I think maybe the confusion could be... So I was a member of the band Sabotage. You could say that I still am. But we recorded a record called Dead Winter Dead back in 1995. I had literally just joined the band. So Steve Doc Wachholz was the original drummer for Sabotage. I came in, I took his place. We did an album called Dead Winter Dead with Sabotage that Paul O'Neill wrote about the war that was going on in Yugoslavia at the time. And Christmas Eve, Sir Abel 1224 was an instrumental song that became part of that record. Now, that song took off in a completely different direction. This was totally unexpected by all of us. But this song was the vehicle for Paul to actually create the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. And honestly, at the time, I mean, this is 1995, but Paul had for years been thinking of and planning how to put together a theatrical rock band, you know, in the vein of TSO. And this song actually gave him the opportunity to do that. The name Trans-Siberian Orchestra was, you know, became a reality. The band became a reality in 1996, and that's when we did our first CD. And yeah, Christmas Eve, Sarajevo, 1224 was something that, you know, it just took off in a completely different direction than what Sabotage was. And it opened up this whole new market and this whole new avenue for Paul and John Oliva and the management to pursue. And here we are, 25 years later, still talking about it.
Wow, that's pretty cool. And what a bunch of albums that you've put out over the years that always celebrate the joyous time of the year. I mean, did he actually wanted to create this band that would enable the spirit of Christmas and the holiday season? Was that a whole goal for Trans-Siberian?
Well, I think Paul's vision, you know, when this all started in the 80s, he was, you know, obviously a big fan of classic rock. He loved The Who and Queen and Kiss and Pink Floyd. You know, he loved lyrics, he loved storytelling, he loved production. And John Oliva, who was the lead singer for Sabotage and also the main writer, he and Paul began working on a bunch of theatrical music, and they had a bunch of stuff kind of geared towards Broadway. Now, the Christmas aspect of it, I'll be honest with you, I don't know if Paul intended to go in this direction, but he had so many ideas going on that when Christmas Eve Cerebral 1224 became such a big hit, you know, the obvious next step was to, well, let's capitalize on this hit song and write a story around that. And obviously writing a Christmas story seemed very appropriate, obviously. And Paul at the time also had, he was writing a bunch of things. I mean, he had so many different stories and ideas going on, and this was one of them. So he put this all in play. And like I said, that song is really kind of what drove everything from the very beginning, and honestly, it still does. But the introduction to the Christmas idea, you know, I think it kind of took him, I want to say, it probably took him by surprise. I can't say for sure, because the song just, when it took off and became such a hit. So I think it was inevitable. But it also gave Paul the opportunity to, you know, later on we did Beethoven's Last Night, and we did Night Castle, and we did Letters from the Labyrinth. He had so many ideas going on and stories to write that Trans-Siberian Orchestra just became that outlet for him.
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you, Jeff, you guys were actually one of my dad's favorite bands to listen to. He had a lot of your albums. His favorite was The Christmas Attic.
Oh, yeah. I think Christmas Eve and Other Stories, which, by the way, this is the song, or this is the album that we're presenting for this live stream on December 18th. But, you know, Christmas Eve and Other Stories, it was such a, there was such a magic around that. And especially when we began touring, this is where Paul's storytelling and everything really just connected with so many people. But The Christmas Attic, I mean, that's a strong second. I mean, I thought the follow-up to Christmas Eve and Other Stories was great. You know, there's really, really good songs on that record. And, you know, it established us as that. We weren't a flash in the pan. We weren't a one-and-done entity. You know, Paul had a trilogy in mind. Once we started developing the Christmas music and the whole holiday theme to it. So Christmas Attic and then The Lost Christmas Eve was the third CD in the trilogy. But yeah, I remember when Christmas Attic came out in Bowels of Holly. That's still one of my favorite TSO songs. I always love playing that live.
Yeah, that's actually my favorite too. Anytime I hear it, it just kind of makes me, it reminds me of the old Christmas movie Prancer for some reason. I know, it sounds weird.
Yeah, we had a couple songs in some movies. We were in The Grinch, the one Grinch movie with Jim Carrey. We had a song in that. So we've been, you know, over all these years, we have touched on a lot of different markets, a lot of different avenues. And you know, unfortunately, we're not able to bring the show to the masses this year.
Yeah.
In person. But I think this live stream is just another thing that, you know, TSO has adapted and conquered and really kind of beat the odds for so many years, and this is just another step in that. So we're really looking forward to doing the show and hopefully introducing ourselves to a whole new fan base.
Yeah, I believe you will. And you got a whole list of, like, different solo artists in there that just love to put out their incredible voices. I mean, I actually spoke with one of your members that was with you guys for a while, Rosa Larichiga, however you say her last name, Rosa.
Yeah, I know what you mean, sure.
Yeah, is she going to be on this live stream with you guys?
No, she is not part of the cast. It's going to be, you know, this band will be made up of myself on drums, mm-hmm. Al Petrelli and Chris Caffrey on guitar, and Johnny Middleton on bass. We are the four guys who have been here from the beginning. We were actually members of Sabotage, and we made the jump from that band over into TSO. So we've been here the whole time, but the rest of the cast is going to be filled out by members of the TSO East and the TSO West touring groups. So this will be a one-time, this will be the first time that actually this particular group of people have actually worked together. Although we've all known each other for years, and, you know, we've seen each other rehearse and perform and everything, but for me, this is a real treat because there's some vocalists and some instrumentalists that are going to be on stage that I have not had a chance to work with before.
Yeah, that does sound pretty exciting, and it would be really cool to have, like, the old school fans get to see, like, the original guys performing the very first album that really established what a Christmas metal record is supposed to sound like.
Yep.
Because right now, I don't know if I don't know if you know this, Jeff.
We never could have imagined, you know. Like I said, when Christmas Eve recorded, we knew it was awesome. It sounded great. It didn't sound like anything else, but to think that it would translate into what we're doing today, it's just remarkable.
Yeah, it is. And like, there's another band off of Nuclear Blast Records, and they're about to put out a Christmas album that is based on the Charles Dickens classic Christmas Carol. And I gotta tell you, I'm actually excited to hear their take on how they're gonna take their music and tell the story.
Sure.
Yeah. So sure. when you're not doing Sabotage or Trans Siberian, Jeff, what groups do you like to dabble in, or do you do free session work for people?
Well, I was a member of Metal Church for 11 years, from 2006 up until 2017. God, has it been that long already? But yeah, I bought out of the band a few years ago, so that was something I really enjoyed doing. You know, when I'm not on the road with TSO or working with them, I'm home. I teach drums, which is another thing that COVID really kind of changed, because obviously there's no teaching in person now; it's all online, but it has really given me the opportunity to, you know, now I'm teaching kids in Portland, Oregon, and New Jersey, and, you know, nobody has to be in my hometown to go and get lessons anymore. So that's kind of the cool thing about it. But I've been working on an original project. I've been working on it for a year and a half. Actually, the announcement for the band will be coming tomorrow. And nice. I'll shoot you, I've got your email address here. I'll shoot you the link for the pages and everything when it's announced. But this has been my focus, you know, with not being able to play live locally, you know, with friends in a cover band or doing that kind of thing. It really gave me the opportunity to focus on this project, you know, the writing, the producing, the engineering part of it. And it's been quite an experience. I've learned a lot, but yeah, now it's time to release it to the masses and see what the people think. So I'm very excited about it.
Yeah, as am I. Just a couple more questions. Jeff, say that you are stranded on a deserted island. What are the three records you would bring with you to keep yourself from going insane?
Man. Well, I got to say Kiss Alive.
Of course.
Because when I was a kid, that album is really what just, you know, brought me to where I am today. Kiss was the band I saw on television that completely, you know, shot me into orbit. When I saw that, I just told myself then, I was the 13-year-old kid. It's like, I'm going to do that. And I've done that. It's been an amazing run. But I give those guys so much credit for being an inspiration. But man, I tell you, you know, one album that I love is Santana Moonflower.
Ooh.
It's half live, it's half studio. It's just such a great record. And that's just something also when I was young and I got turned on to that really, it just connected. I just love the music. I love the vibe. It's just very uplifting. It's very cool. It's very musical. And God, number three, boy. Well, that's tough. Could number three just be a mixtape?
Oh, like
a cassette mixtape.
It's your choice, Jeff.
Play that until the thing breaks.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? It's your choice, man. You're on the island. Got to keep your mind occupied.
That's absolutely, absolutely.
All right.
But you know, I got to say, probably something Rush. I would say 2112.
Yeah. So
Neil Peart, the other when 2112 came along, you know, from being a young drummer and looking for a direction, all of a sudden there was the direction, and Neil just completely changed the world as far as drums are concerned. And that album right there, you know, that was really the first. That was the first Rush album that I never stopped listening to this day. So sure, I'd bring that one along. I guess that would be a winner.
Absolutely, Jeff, absolutely. I'd say my three albums that I have to go with would have to be Van Halen's For Unlawful Carnal Knowledge, May Eddie Rest in Peace, loved him. It's always a toss-up for me. I would probably go with Megadeth's Rest in Peace, and of course my final choice would have to be Pearl Jam's 10.
Oh, wow. That's pretty diverse. That's cool.
Yeah, those are the albums that really spoke to me on a lot of levels, and Van Halen, it was the group that really got me into rock and roll.
Sure.
Yeah. But, you know, speaking
of... It's hard when you ask a question like this. I mean, I immediately revert back to, you know, what was the album that changed my life as a kid, you know, as a teenager? And like, the answers I gave you were certainly representative of that, but... There is so much great music that's out there now. You know, it's just so hard to put your finger on a top three, you know, all time. But, hey, you know, we're lucky. We're lucky to be able to have as much cool music as we do.
Yeah, I agree with you. And just one more question. This will be my final one. Growing up, who did you prefer to listen to, the Beatles or the Rolling Stones?
Beatles.
Ooh, I got to go with the Stones, but you know what? We'll get into that some other time. I mean, you and I will definitely duke it out for sure.
No problem. Anytime you want to talk, just look me up.
You got it, man. Well, hey, Jeff, thank you very much for speaking with Uncivil Revolt. And let me just add this really quick. My dad was a big fan of your groups. He loved listening to you guys. Unfortunately, he passed away. About a year ago, it'll be a year ago after Thanksgiving. So I just want to say thank you to you and to Paul and to Johnny and to Chris that just created these musics that really gave them a lot of joy, especially during the holiday season. It really means a lot to me.
Well, thank you. And I'm sorry for your loss. And, you know, I could speak the same. You know, I lost my father 5 years ago, and as much as he didn't understand, you know, what I was doing listening to Kiss and Aerosmith and all this stuff, TSO was something he definitely understood and related to, and, you know, he loved it, so.
Yeah.
So, hey, kudos to your dad, and, you know, this music will carry on for a lot of folks, and something to be very proud of.
I am definitely proud of it. Well, on Civil Revolt, this was Jeff Plate of Trans-Siberian Orchestra, and be sure to check out their live stream on December 18th, where they will play the entire Christmas Eve and Other Stories album. Very excited to see that. And if you want to get their merchandise, be sure to check out the link that is going to be featured on the article that will go along with this interview if you want to get some great gift ideas for your loved ones, or if you just want to just have it for yourself. Jeff, good luck with the show, man, and I look forward to seeing you in your next project. And next year, when live shows come back, I'm definitely checking out Trans-Siberian live for my father.
Thanks a lot, dude. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Talk to you soon, Jeff. Have a good one.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.